Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for words of wisdom. Plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. As always, it's an honor and a privilege that God has allowed us to assemble together one more time, where we could come together to fellowship one with another as we explore the Word of God, where God reveals his master plan to us, and he reveals himself to us. It's a time when we come so that we could grow in grace and receive more knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, now and forevermore. And for that, I'm grateful, and I'm thankful. And I thank each and every one of you that took time from your busy schedule to come and join us so that we could study the Word of God together in fellowship one with another. And I thank you. And tonight, hallelujah, the title of our lesson is Heaven is a Prepared Place for a Prepared People. We have to know that heaven is prepared for us, but they're going to only be God's people there. And when I say heaven, we know that Jesus said he's going to prepare a place. Many believe that we all won't get to heaven, but we're going to have and be in a new kingdom. You see, because our Father presseth, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And we're taught in the book of Revelation about the New Jerusalem, where the earth as we know it is going to be burned with fervent heat. All things known will pass away, and all things will become new. But we like to say heaven is our home. And I came tonight to say heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. And we're going to be studying out of the book of 1 Thessalonians. We're going to be in the fourth chapter, and we're going to expound on verses 13 through 18. And I pray that you had time to read the posted information about what we would be studying tonight. And if you didn't, I suggest you get your Bible so you can follow along with me. But at this time, I'm going to play a song. And I thought the song was so appropriate for the night because the name of the song is telling us to be ready. You got to be ready, y'all. You got to be ready.
Away your answer. What will it be?
I thought that fits in with our lesson tonight, because we're going to talk about heaven being a prepared place for a prepared people. And the songstress just sung the song and saying, you got to be ready. She said in a song, she hopes she passed the test. Hallelujah. But thank God for Jesus Christ. And because we accepted him as our Savior, we are prepared people for God's prepared glory. Hallelujah unto God. And tonight is the first Wednesday of the month. And at this time, we always pray. We have a prayer list, and we have an intercessor that's going to pray. And at this time, I want to ask if anybody have anything they would like to add to the prayer list. You could press the one button at this time, and we are included on the prayer list. And maybe you might not come up with something to the end of the lesson, but at, you know, that time, you could press the one button, and we'll include your name or request on the prayer line. Hallelujah. Our prayer warrior is in place. She has already pressed the one button, and I'm going to open her mic, and she's going to lead us to God's throne of grace where mercy can be found. I turn everything over to you, Sister Pam.
Good evening, everybody. This is the prayer list for the first Wednesday of May. Today is May the 5th. Jacqueline Nicholas, Jim and Kathy Hartman, Beverly Ferguson, Florida Kazier, the Moses and Mac and Mitchell family, the Bridges family, Jerome Carter, Larry Bridges, Elizabeth Bias Cole, Spencer Moore, Vanessa Humphrey, Vanessa Laurent, Minister Paula Cloud, Azariah Hurd, Tyrone Coleman, Lee Calhoun, Sandra Bridges, Diane Adams and family, the Wynn family, the Brian Williams, Emma Turner, Margie Bridges, Onika Drew, Chantel Bro, Minister Margie Lester, and the McBride family. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Father God, we thank you tonight for life, thanking you for your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We thank you, Father God, for another Wednesday night Bible study. We ask that you continue blessing our Bible study and continue to pour out your blessings and your anointing over our sister in Christ and our teacher, Minister Diane Adams. Father God, we come on this first Wednesday night in May to lift up our brothers and sisters in prayers whose names were called on tonight from our prayer list. Father God, I'm asking prayers for our Wednesday night Bible study, that we continue to meet here each and every Wednesday night called for prayer and worship. Asking prayers for everyone that calls in for our Bible study on Wednesday night, on the phone lines and through the internet. Lord, we know that all power is in your hands, and through you and only you, all things are possible. We know that whatever your will is, it shall be done. Father God, we pray that you supply every need, need it be physical, mental, financially, or spiritual. Keep us, O Father God, all covered under your precious blood. We give you all praise, all glory, and all honor. We just thank you, Lord. Father God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. Father God, we thank you for your love, and we thank you for your compassion. But most of all, Father God, we thank you for your darling Son, Jesus. And in his name, I say amen and thank you, God.
Thank you so much, Sister Pam.
You're welcome.
Thank you for your commitment. And I thank you because I know when we off the line, you're still praying. for our brothers and sisters in Christ. You are a true intercessor, and God is pleased. And I just want to say thank you. Keep up the good work.
You're welcome.
I will. Thank you.
The race not given to the swift, but those who endure to the end.
Hallelujah.
Doing what God has put in our hands.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, my sister. And at this time, we'll get into our lesson. And I have a little short introduction tonight because the lesson have a lot of stuff in it. So I ask that you get ready. Open up your heart and your mind so that you could follow what's being said. And I pray at the end of this lesson that you could see the mighty hand of God and everything that he created in his master plan from the beginning of time all the way through eternity. So a little introduction for tonight. Remember, the title of our lesson is Heaven is a Prepared Place for a Prepared People. When 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, the 13th through the 18th verse. And I would encourage each and every one of you, if you have a question or if it's something that you don't understand, God has given us this platform where we can take time and discuss, and we can take time and clear something up that, you know, need to be known. I might not know the answer, but someone on the line might know the answer. And if none of us know the answer, when we come back next week, we'll revisit it. God has given us this, and we should use it to the fullest. Hallelujah. So a little introduction for the lesson tonight. I want everyone to know that the Old Testament is a foreshadowing of what was to come by the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Everything in the Bible points to Jesus. Everything in the Old Testament, starting from Genesis and all the way through Revelation, God is revealed in his Son and what he has accomplished for us. You see, tonight I'm going to talk a little bit about a wedding. And God ordained the institution of marriage. And he conducted the first wedding between Adam and Eve. You see, we know that Jesus is coming back for his bride. And if we didn't know it, we know it tonight. You see, the Bible teaches us the reason Jesus is coming back to get his bride. We are the bride. The church is the bride, not the church building. We are the church, and Jesus is coming back for his bride. The church. Tonight we'll take a look at the Jewish marriage covenant and the wedding feast. And you might say, what do the ancient Jewish wedding has to do with me, a believer in Jesus Christ? But I want you to know that Jesus is the bridegroom. And is coming again for his bride, the church. And he has given us the ancient Jewish wedding as a picture of his return. Come on, y'all. He's given us an analogy of his return by using the picture of a Jewish ancient wedding. And not just ancient, because many Jews still use the same, same way they conduct the weddings today. So I'm going to go through this, and I'm going to give you an example of how the Jewish weddings go and how it foreshadows the coming of Jesus Christ. So if we look at 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, I'm going to read verses 13 and 14. It says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. That's unbelievers, y'all. 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so then also with sleep in Jesus will God bring to him. And when you look at this scripture, if you'd have read, you might have could have understood it a little bit better. But this is Paul teaching the Christians in the Church of Thessalonica. You see, the people was having a lot of discussion. You got to realize that they were a young church. They didn't have Bibles like we had. They probably was established after the day of Pentecost, and they went back to their hometown, which was Thessalonica, and they began a church. So they didn't have full knowledge, and they was learning as they go, but they had a heart made up for God. So the people start talking among themselves, and they felt grieved concerning their loved ones that had died before the fulfillment of Jesus Christ would take place. Hallelujah. You see, the people in the Old Testament had to place their faith on what Jesus would come and do. They had to place their hope that one day a Savior would come. But you see, now we New Testament Christians, we have to look back at what Jesus has already done. Hallelujah, y'all. So the people was concerned that since Jesus, you tell you're going to bring us a Savior, but the Savior haven't come yet. And many of our loved ones has died and they're in the grave. So if Jesus come back, what's going to happen to our people that is laying in a grave? Paul wrote this fourth chapter of Thessalonians to give them hope and to explain to them what would happen. You see, when Paul said, I would not have you ignorant, it's simply Paul's way of saying, I have something I want to tell you, so listen up. Listen up, y'all. He said a believer was concerned about their loved ones. They was concerned that because the fellow believers has fallen asleep, which is to die, and what would happen to them when Jesus returned. Paul wanted the Thessalonians to understand that death is not the end of the story. I come to tell you that tonight too, y'all. Death is not the end of the story. You see, when Christ returns, all believers, dead or alive, will be reunited with them, never to suffer again. Paul said, don't be concerned. God made a way for everyone, the dead as well as those alive, if you believe. He said, I got this. Hallelujah. God's got this. So Paul told them that. But then when we get to the verse 15, they say, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive. Now, see, he talked about this, the ones that's dead. He said, but I'm going to tell you right now. He said, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. He said, I'm saying this, but this is what God has given me to give you. I'm not making it up as I go. He said the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. There's room at the cross for all believers, dead or alive. And verse 16 say, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. We ought to be shouting. God has made provisions for us. And while we're here on earth, he's preparing us for the prepared place that he has for us. You see, when I look at that, I want to just tell you this. You see, here we see that Paul is speaking about the rapture. I want you to know the word rapture is not in the Bible. But if you ever trying to figure the rapture out, go to 1 Thessalonians. You see, the rapture is an event that will take place sometime in the future. And many of us believe the near future. You see, Jesus is described as many things in the Bible. Some say he's the good shepherd. Some say he's the potter working with the clay. Some say he's the Lamb of God and the bridegroom, just to name a few. Jesus is often spoke of as the bridegroom. You see, the bride of Christ is the bride, or the Lamb's wife is a term used in reference to a group of related Bible verses in the Bible. So you see, when you see that, that's what they're talking about. The bride of Christ, the Lamb's wife. Who is the Lamb? Jesus Christ. The bridegroom. Jesus is called the bridegroom, and a bridegroom is the man, and a bridegroom has a wife. They're letting us know that Jesus is the bridegroom, and we, the church, the believers, the body of Christ, the church is the bride. Sometimes the Bible is implied calling Jesus a bridegroom. For over 2,000 years, the church was identified as a bride betrothed to Christ. You know, that's what they used to say. Now, y'all know the word betrothed in the Old Testament, and during that time was when a man had chose a wife. It's sort of like the engagement. And I want you to know, when they got engaged back then, they wouldn't live together. But they were really considered married. Because if someone was betrothed to someone, and something went wrong in the time before they consummated the marriage, they would have to do a written divorce. Remember when Mary told Joseph she was pregnant, and Joseph couldn't comprehend what was going on. And he told her, I'm going to put you away quietly. I'm going to give you a written divorce, and we could end this. But oh, but God. God sent the angel and spoke to him. She's not lying. The child she is carrying is the Son of God. Joseph understood. You see, him and Mary wasn't married, but he was betrothed to her. And she was betrothed to him. In other words, they was engaged. But it had a strong standard. And if you wanted to end it, you had to go through the process as if it was a marriage. You see, I'm going to keep trying to give you an imagery and the symbolism, analogy of Jesus' return and what happens with the marriage. You see, this marriage is implied to Jesus Christ and the body of believers known as the church. This will be a marriage. Hey, watch this, y'all. This will be a marriage made in heaven. How you like that? Yeah, it was made in heaven. Before the foundation of the world, God had this master plan for us to be redeemed and live on earth and Jesus come back and bring us to the prepared place. It was made in heaven. You see, let me give you the steps of the marriage. You see, the fact is God began planning this amazing wedding even before the foundation of the world. You see, this wedding has not yet taken place, but it soon shall. You see, let us now identify the bride and the groom. The bridegroom, as I say so many times in the lesson, because I really want you to understand, the bridegroom is none other than Jesus, God's only begotten Son. And if you are a Christian, if you are saved, then you are the true church. The church is the body of Christ. And we're living in a church age, and a church age will still be operating until Jesus come back. If you're a Christian, you're the true church. And as much as you are the body of Christ, you see, God the Father, God is the father of the groom. And you see, back then, the father would choose the bride. Don't get it twisted, y'all. God invented marriage. I said that earlier. And God chose the bride for the very first wedding. I talked about Adam and Eve. You see, he also chose the bride for the soon-to-be greatest wedding of all, the wedding of his son, Jesus. The very first wedding took place between Adam, he was the groom, and Eve was the bride. And you see, God then was still the father of the groom, Adam. Not only did he choose Adam's wife, he created her. Even before the foundation of the world, God the Father chose the true church, us, the believers, the redeemed, to be his son's future bride. God not only chose his son bride, he created her as well. God is the creator of all things. You can find that in Matthew 16 and 18. And what it says is, and he said unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. God said, upon this rock I build my church. We are the church, y'all. We go to a church building for fellowship. But we are the true church, the anointed, appointed, redeemed of Jesus Christ. By our faith, we were granted grace, hallelujah, to be saved. And we got inducted into the body of Christ, and we became the bride of Christ, the true bride. And if we look at step two, you see in a Jewish wedding after a man and a woman, well, really the parents of two Jewish people would decide that they was going to let their son and their daughter get married. There had to be a dowry had to be paid. You see, the groom's parents paid a dowry price for the bride to be. You see, Father God, the Father, the father of Jesus Christ had to pay the dowry. You see, the father paid an indefinite valuable dowry price to redeem the chosen bride for his son. God paid the price. You see, the price that God paid for the true church was not mere silver or gold, but the precious blood of Jesus. You see, when we go to John 3:16, it said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You see, you got to see that it was God who gave. It was God who paid. You see, despite having all the power that ever was or shall be, the Father allowed himself to go through unspeakable agony as he allowed his beloved and only begotten son to suffer on the cross. Because he had to pay the price, y'all. And you see, the Father accomplished everything necessary for the great wedding when he paid the price in full with the blood of Christ so that we could receive grace through faith. And you see, we got to look at it, what God gave. He, you know, grace is all of God's riches at Christ's expense, all the treasures of heaven as dowry price for the bride. God said, I'm willing to throw in everything to redeem my people, my creation, the ones I created to love on me and me to love on them. And sin entered the world. And when sin came into the world, it separated us. He said, but the way I planned it is the way it's gonna be. So I'm going to redeem them. You see, for you and for me. Some say that salvation by grace alone is too easy. They tell me, well, Sister Diane, you mean to tell me I could still sin and say I believe? You know, you're going to either be saved or you're going to be faking. To be saved is to truly give God your heart. And you can't fake out on God because God don't care what come out of your mouth. God is concerned with what's in your heart. He said the same mouth you say hallelujah, the same mouth you curse people with. They say that salvation by grace alone is too easy. He said that's too cheap. You see, it is true that salvation costs you nothing. But there was nothing cheap about it. Because you have to remember, your salvation costs God everything. His only begotten son. If you look at 3, you see, in a Jewish wedding, the groom makes a pledge gift. You know, and the groom had the parents selecting them, and they put the two people together. They agreed. Then the father had to pay the dowry. And after that, now the bridegroom have to do a pledge gift. And that's what the Jewish people would do. But here we see Jesus gave his pledge and his gift to the bride. You see, the groom gave a gift to the bride to be as his pledge that he would fulfill his promise of marriage when the time comes. He would come back because Jesus said in John, he said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also, found in John 14:3. You see what would happen once they got betrothed, the bridegroom would go to fix up a house. You know, he didn't just take his bride and didn't have a house to bring her to, go by his mama house and lay on the sofa and so on and so on. See, he went to prepare, because that's what a real man does. He went to prepare for his bride, so there would be time in between. But he said, I'm coming back, because I have to go prepare a place for you. Then I'm going to come and get you, and where I am, you're going to be also. You see, having comforted his bride's concern, his return, Jesus didn't present her. See, he had to make his case known. She didn't want him to leave. She just, ready to be married. So he told her these things. And he had, you know, put her mind at ease. And when she finally understood, he presented her with the most beautiful of all possible gifts as a pledge of his love and as a guarantee that he would most definitely return to her. Now, that's what the bridegroom, the Jewish bridegroom, did for his bride. But look at God, Jesus, in this scenario. You see, the pledge gift that Jesus gave to his bride, us, was the gift of the Holy Spirit of God. As a Christian, you are adorned with a living engagement ring. The Holy Spirit of God who dwells with you and in you and ever walks beside you. That's beautiful, y'all. And then it had step four, the espousal. You see, the bride and the groom was now espoused. Biblical espouse was fully as binding as marriage, like I said before, because I was using the word betrothal and engage are the same things. You see, this is where they was betrothed or engaged to be married to each other. You see, in this step here, this fourth step, is the status of the true church as of today. Right this very moment, the God of the groom has selected the bride. He has prayed the dowry price. The bridegroom has given the bride his pledge to return to her and to take her to his Father's home, which we're talking about Jesus. God is the Father in heaven. Given the bride his pledge gift, he has picked his ring. He had placed his ring upon her heart, the Holy Spirit that God has indwelled in us. We engage, y'all. We are the bride of Christ, and Jesus is coming back for us. And he has gone to build a mansion for her. See what he's saying? My Father's house are many mansions. If it wasn't so, I would tell you. See, he's going to prepare for his bride. You see, we as Christians are now expounded, or betrothed, or engaged to the bridegroom, Jesus Christ. If you are a Christian, you are expounded to a living bridegroom who loves you with an everlasting love. He pledged himself to you and for you. Come on, y'all. Plain and simple. He gave himself for you. You wear his ring. Be faithful unto him as he is faithful unto you. Plain and simple, which really is only your reasonable service. Hallelujah, y'all. Fifth step, the bridegroom cometh. No one knows the date or the time, but he is coming back. After an often lengthy period of espousal, the bridegroom would go to the bride's house to fetch his bride. Hallelujah, y'all. The groom would lift the bride veil to reveal her face. Upon holding his bride, the groom would give a joyful shout to show that he took pleasure in her beauty. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God. And this is when the dead in Christ will rise, because the bridegroom has cometh. Then we shall all that is alive and remains shall be caught up with them in a cloud to meet Jesus in the air. And thus, we will always be with the Lord. You know, Jesus said when all of us is with Jesus, he's going to take all of us to present him to the Father. You see, it's like we the bride. Jesus is going to take us and present us to the Father. Because Jesus told the Father in the scriptures that everyone that you gave me, I'm able to keep them. I kept them and I'm bringing them back to you. I have all of them with me, the bride of Christ. He said, except Judas. See, so you can see the analogy and the scenarios of this, and an easy way is to explain it as a marriage, and I'm using a Jewish marriage as the platform. You see, now they ain't married yet. You see, and then step six says, to the Father's house. The groom would then take the bride to his Father's house. Jesus himself said in John 14, 2 and 3, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus was letting the bride and letting us know, I'm coming back. And just like the title of the lesson, you got to be prepared, because heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. And you have to look at our time here on earth as our time of preparation for our heavenly home. And that's why we try to get it right and pass the test and grow in grace and in knowledge. You see, in the last step is step seven, which is the marriage. You see, in the house of the groom's Father, the wedding feast, which is also called the marriage supper. You see that in the Bible, the marriage feast of the Lamb. The marriage supper. The wedding feast. You always see that, and this is what they're talking about. You see, it is recorded in Revelation 19:5, 19:7 and 9. It said, let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory. Talking about God, for the marriage of the Lamb, which is Jesus Christ, has come. That's why I say it many times in the Bible, we should say, come, Lord Jesus, come. So I'm going to read that again, Revelation 7 and 9. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him, talking about God, glory. For the marriage of the Lamb, which is Jesus, has come, and his wife, the true church, talking about us, has made herself ready. Are you ready, y'all? And to her, the bride, it is granted to be arrayed in linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen. See, we're going to be dressed in righteousness that God is extending to us. You know, when Jesus come and the dead in Christ will rise and those alive will rise to meet him in the air, and we're going to take off the corruptibleness, which is this flesh. When there's no flesh, there's no sin. When there's no flesh, there's no temptation to sin. You see, flesh will not get into the kingdom. Flesh represents the world. The lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And the pride of flesh. So we're going to put on our new adornment. Come on, y'all. All of the corruptible will be taken away and we'll be dressed in white linen to be presented to our bride, to our bridegroom, and we could stand before his Father, because he's going to adorn us with righteousness. We can't be righteous enough on our own. So God is going to dress us in righteousness so that we will be able to stand before God. Blessed are those who call the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are true sayings of God. The amazing and glorious marriage of Jesus to his church will soon take place. And I want to know if you're going to be there. Another analogy that Jesus used, he really did it in a parable, which you could find in Matthew 25 and 13. You see, it's the parable of the 10 virgins that lets us know that we have to be prepared. You know, in that parable, they had some virgins that was ready and some wasn't. The bridegroom came to take his bride, and only those that was ready was able to go with him. The bridegroom took the ones that was ready and brought into the wedding feast and locked the door. When they went to scramble around to try to get ready, and they got it together because they needed oil for their lamps because they couldn't see because it was late. No light, street light. So they got there and knocked on the door, but they couldn't get in. They couldn't get in. You are most definitely invited. So this is letting us know right here. You're invited, everybody. The Holy Ghost is giving out invitations for us to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. That's part of his job. The Bible says, whosoever will, let him come. You are most definitely invited. The great invitation that went out to everyone when Jesus said in Matthew 11:28-30, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. 29, look what he said. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. See, the body could be taken off the corruptible and placed incorruptible. Jesus is not coming back for this body. We know that flesh will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is not coming back for flesh or bones or marrow or hair or anything. He's coming for your soul. He's saying, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Then he sent an angel to testify. And then in Revelation 22:17, he said, and the Spirit and the bride said, come, and let him that heareth says, come, and let him that athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Have you made a RSVP today? Hallelujah. You know, and if we look at Romans 10:9-10, it says, whosoever will, let him come. And if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confessions is made unto salvation. Jesus has been taking care of his bride once she was espoused to him, providing all her provisions necessary. From the moment you accept Christ as your Savior, Jesus was espoused, looked at you as engaged, and what he did, he took care of his wife. He's still taking care of his wife because, oh, hallelujah, y'all. He's providing her all provisions necessary. He's constantly working all things out for her good. Being faithful, patient, and long-suffering. And he's promised that he's going to give her a retirement plan, which will be out of this world. Jesus is coming back, y'all. Jesus is coming back. And we got to be ready. And I don't know everybody that's listening on tonight. I know the line is full. But I want to tell you, if anybody out there is doubting their salvation, if anybody is doubting the fact or don't know if they're saved or they're wondering if they're really saved, the scripture here tells us, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You have to confess that Jesus is your Lord. You have to confess that you need a Savior. Because you see, when you say, I need a Savior, you are really stating that you are a sinner. And a sinner needs a Savior. Because without a Savior, all of your sins are still on your back. With a Savior, the sins got on Jesus' back. And Jesus said there's no condemnation for those who love the Lord. Jesus paid the price. He took our sins and put them on him that we could have a chance to the tree of life. He said, do that, and you are saved. Don't walk around saying, oh, I'm saved, I was saved, and I messed up, and I'm not saved. First of all, God saved you when you were in your sin. He didn't wait till you got ready and straightened up and start doing everything right. He met you right where you are. He told you, come to me as you are. Don't try to get ready and come to me. Come to me as you are, and I'll be the one that help you get ready. So many people always say, I can't join the church now because I got too much baggage in my trunk. Come with your baggage. Come with your sins. Come with all of your acts of disobedience and watch how God change it. Hallelujah, y'all. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. And that's our lesson for tonight. Any questions, concerns, anything you want to add to it, anything you want to say about it, you can press the one button on your phone tonight. And if there's anyone who don't know Jesus, truly know him and a pardon of their sins, they could press the one button and pray a prayer of repentance. And either they could call me offline. But Jesus is coming back, y'all. And we have to be prepared. And, you know, one of the first things you got to do is accept him. You can't get into Christ. You can't get into heaven. You can't go back with Christ. You can't go before God if Jesus is not your Savior. So if anyone would like to say anything at this time, you can press the one button on your phone. Sister Pam, since your number is already pressed, I can't, you can't press it again for me to know if you want to talk. So before it's over, I'm going to press your button. And if you don't want to say anything, you don't have to, but I'm going to give you that opportunity. Caller, your number is, caller, your number is 985-774. I believe that's my sister in Christ, Diane McBride. Your mic is open.
Thank you, Sister Diane. I always thank you for all the work you've done for us and all the information you've given us. It's such a blessing. It's unbelievable the work you do. And I know you do it for God and for Jesus Christ. But I have a question. When you die, do you go to sleep? Because it says that in the Bible, but it also says when Jesus Christ died, he looked over to the sinner who confessed and said, today you'll be with my Father. So I'm confused as to Diane. I want to know if you sleep for a while or you see the Father when you die.
Many people in the Bible, as the scripture say, absent from the body but present with the Lord. Many, well, that's in the Bible. They say absent from the body and present with the Lord. And what Paul mm-hmm. said in this scripture here, he said you sleep, which means you be dead. He said, for if we believe, wait, not that one. Let me get to it. Here you go. In verse 15, he said, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of Jesus shall not prevent those which are asleep. The Catholic religion believe you go to purgatory. So there are many, you know, I could try to maybe study it a little bit more to say that, you know, this is this and this is this. But the Bible say, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Many times you hear priests at funeral, they are now in the bosom of God, you know, and things like that.
Right.
But Jesus say he's going to bring us to the Father. Now, at what point, I can't tell you.
Well,
but
daddy,
when you die, go ahead, babe.
When my daddy was dying, he said, I'm afraid to go sleep. He was Jehovah's Witness. And we weren't raised Jehovah's Witness. We were raised Catholic and now I'm like Baptist. But I don't, it's like I'm getting so many different ways. I mean, I told Dad, I just said, Daddy, it said when Jesus was died on the cross to the guy who, you see, you would be with my father tonight. And my daddy was afraid that he was just going to have a long sleep, which I told Dad, that's not bad. I love to sleep, you know, but I don't know what it is, and I'd love to know.
And I'm going to do some more on that, but this is the thing. This is one thing. When we die, we don't have any memory or anything dealing with life here on earth. We're not going to be in a grave sleep and know we sleep and can't get up. See, they say absent from the body. You're going to be absent from the body and all of the things of the body and present with the Lord, present in a state of bliss, peace. You know, I guess I can say at this point
that's
and
helpful.
Be all right unless anybody.
That's helpful.
Huh?
That's very
what you
helpful.
Say, baby?
That's very
yeah,
helpful.
You see what I'm saying? Because some people will say, man, if your mama could see you now, she'll be turning. Your God ain't going to let your mama see your knucklehead doing all these things and making her cry when she's in rest. It's rest. He said, take this yoke. You're going to be rest, in rest. Pure or bliss, peace. You're not going to remember that your son did good yesterday or didn't do good. God is not going to trouble us with the affairs of the world once we have died.
That's how I felt. And I really felt like maybe we do sleep, but if it happens that way, I think it's going to be a happy sleep. You know, but I didn't know what to tell my dad, and that's what I told him. And I honestly didn't know the correct answer, and I told Dad I didn't, but I said on the cross, he said to one of the sinners who, you know, confessed that he was a sinner, you'll be present with my daddy tonight, so, oh, Father.
Yeah, he said, today you'll be with me in paradise. And let's look at it like this. Mm-hmm. Those that are in Christ and believe, we're going to die that we could have eternal life. Let me tell you this. Once we die, now the Holy Ghost is telling me this, so somebody say it. I believe the Holy Ghost is telling me this because I didn't never think of this. But once the question. Once we die, we begin living our eternal life.
Right. That's what I always thought.
Now, Jesus is going to bring to us, huh? What'd you say, babe?
So that's what I always thought. I always thought this was like a trial or something. And then once
right.
I pass over to the next life, it's going to be wonderful. As long as, I repent, and I really try not to do the things I do.
But if we die in Christ, we begin our eternal life journey.
Thank you, Sister Diane. You cleared that up for me.
If anybody can add to it, you surely can, because I never confess or profess that I know everything. If there's any other questions, comments, or concerns, you can say them at this time. And y'all know I'm fixing to go research that and look at it. But after the questions was asked, and you see, the Holy Ghost will give you information and revelation. It's beautiful, y'all. So with that being said, and there's nothing else to be said at this time, oh, one thing. Sister Pam, if you need to say anything, you can. If not, we'll go on.
Thank you again for another wonderful lesson. I appreciate it. I'm glad, and I got a good understanding of it, the way you broke it down. I never knew the meaning of that word, betrothed, because I never looked it up. But I thank you for giving me that meaning tonight, what that meant. Thank you.
Right. You're welcome. And God ordained the Jewish marriage. So God used the Jewish marriage to explain how it was going to be when Jesus come back for his bride. So that was done in the Old Testament, and we're going to see Jesus do it in the New Testament. So God said there's nothing new under the sun. God used everything in the old to reveal everything for the new. Jesus said, I didn't come to abolish the law. He said, I came to fulfill it. And if that's it for tonight, we'll have our benediction and we'll leave for tonight. And all I want to say is I pray that God be with us, each and every one of us, as we leave this Bible study on tonight. I pray that the word that God had given through me, his vessel, on tonight, accomplish what God wanted it to accomplish. I pray that the Holy Spirit give illumination and revelation and open up your mind and your understanding where you can know even more about your Lord, your Savior, your Jesus, and your Master. I thank you, dear God, for your word. I thank you for your people. I thank you for this time. I thank you for Jesus. Amen, and thank God. And that's it for tonight. God be with you until we meet again. And I want each and every one of you to know that I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Good night, and everybody, please be blessed. I'm going to sit down and meditate how I'm the Holy Ghost is my wedding ring, and I want to wear him proudly. Ha! Y'all go ahead. I feel my health coming on. And we'll be back Wednesday if God say the same. Be blessed, everybody. Good night.